The howling stopped. Tom pricked up his ears. "Shh! What's that?" he whispered.
"Sounds like hogs grunting. No, it's somebody snoring, Tom."
"That is it. Whereabouts is it, Huck?"
"I believe it's down at t'other end. Sounds so, anyway. Pap used to sleep there sometimes along with the hogs, but laws bless you, he just lifts things when he snores. Besides, I reckon he ain't ever coming back to this town anymore."
The spirit of adventure rose in the boys' souls once more.
"Hucky, do you dast to go if I lead?"
"I don't like too much, Tom. Suppose it's Injun Joe."
Tom quailed, but presently the temptation rose up strong again, and the boys agreed to try, with the understanding that they would take to their heels if the snoring stopped. So they went tiptoeing stealthily down, the one behind the other. When they had got to within 5 steps of the snorer, Tom stepped on a stick, and it broke with a sharp snap. The man moaned, writhed a little, and his face came into the moonlight. It was Muff Potter. The boys' hearts had stood still, and their bodies, too, when the man moved, but their fears passed away now. They tiptoed out through the broken weatherboarding and stopped at a little distance to exchange a parting word. That long, lugubrious howl rose on the night air again. They turned and saw the strange dog standing within a few feet of where Potter was lying, and facing Potter with his nose pointing heavenward.
"Oh, Jiminy, it's him!" exclaimed both boys in a breath.
"Say, Tom, they say a stray dog came howling around Johnny Miller's house about midnight as much as 2 weeks ago, and a whippoorwill come in and lit on the banister and sung the very same evening, and there ain't anybody dead there yet."
"Well, I know that, and suppose there ain't. Didn't Gracie Miller fall in the kitchen fire and burn herself terrible the very next Saturday?"
"Yes, but she ain't dead, and what's more, she's getting better, too."
"All right, you wait and see. She's a goner just as dead sure as Muff Potter's a goner. That's what the niggers say, and they know all about these kinds of things, Huck."
Then they separated, cogitating. When Tom crept in at his bedroom window, the night was almost spent. He undressed with excessive caution and fell asleep congratulating himself that nobody knew of his escapade. He was not aware that the gently snoring Sid was awake, and had been so for an hour. When Tom awoke, Sid was dressed and gone. There was a late look in the light, a late atmosphere. He was startled. Why had he not been called? Persecuted till he was up as usual. The thought filled him with bodings. Within 5 minutes he was dressed and downstairs, feeling sore and drowsy. The family were still at table, but they had finished breakfast. There was no voice of rebuke, but there were averted eyes. There was a silence and an air of solemnity that struck a chill to the culprit's heart. He sat down and tried to seem gay, but it was uphill work. It roused no smile, no response, and he lapsed into silence and let his heart sink down to the depths.